This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. It is 11 a.m. on Thursday, March 31st, 2022. We are in room 414 of the Capitol Building. My name is Keith Sanger from the Bureau of Finance and Management. I will be chairing the meeting today as proxy for BFM Interim Commissioner Partridge. We have a fairly short agenda before us today, but I will forewarn you, I do not speak as fast as Liza did, so the meeting may be extended a bit from what we're used to. But with that, I will call the State Board of Internal Control meeting to order. Today's meeting is being live broadcast, so I'd ask that you turn on your mics when you are speaking. The live broadcast will be archived on the State's Boards and Commissions portal, which can also be accessed through OpenSD. With that, Allison, will you please call the roll?
Beck is excused. Forney?
Here.
Olson?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Satgast excused. Tidwell Zeltinger?
Here.
And Sanger?
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is to approve today's agenda. Can I get a motion for approval?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Olson, seconded by Peterson. All in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign. That motion passes. Agenda is approved. Third on our agenda is the approval of the minutes from the December 2021 meeting. Those draft minutes have been posted out on the Boards and Commissions portal. Before I take a motion, I would ask if there are any discussion or changes. Hearing none, I'd accept a motion to approve.
Mr. Chairman, Chris Peterson here, reviewed the minutes. Looks like we captured everything that we did during our past meeting. I would move approval of the minutes.
Second.
Moved by Peterson, seconded by Forney. With that, we'll take a vote. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign. Motion has been approved, and the December 20, 2021 minutes have been adopted. Fourth on the agenda is the reoccurring discussion items, the first of which are the subrecipient audit notifications. Allison, go ahead.
We don't have any for this meeting. We'll have a handful at the next meeting, as well as the single audit findings should be ready and to discuss at that meeting as well.
Thank you, Allison. Next is the GOAC update. I can report that there was no GOAC meeting since our last December meeting, so there's nothing new to report. Additionally, I did check this morning, and I did not see an agenda for the 2022 meeting agenda yet for or meeting schedule for GOAC yet, but I'm sure that will be coming out fairly soon. Next, fifth on our agenda is the Internal Control Quarterly Report. First, I believe, is a statewide report. Allison, can you please give us an update?
Yes. So to date, our program has been rolled out to 8 agencies, with the Office of the State Auditor and the School and Public Lands wrapping up to be the 9th and 10th. Each agency has thoroughly documented their objectives, risks, and controls, all of which are subject to periodic revision. Once onboarded, agencies attest to controls for high and critical risks semi-annually. This following report details findings as part of those semi-annual attestations that are completed by control owners. During this reporting period, we had a statewide response rate of 91.8% on those control attestations. On the second page here, we'll cover the statewide report. As a state, we've identified 1,530 risks to date. After adding the Department of Military, you can see we're still trending about 60% of those in the operational category. Those are going to be aligned to achieving the agency program and functional objectives, or in short, really just their day-to-day activities. Additionally, we have roughly 16% of those identified risks being in that high and critical range, and agencies are asked to document and implement controls for those high and critical risks at a minimum, and to date, we've documented and identified 393 controls. This period, we had 14 control issues identified. 13 of those were related to a high risk, and one of those to a critical risk. 12 of those have been remediated and closed, and the remaining 2 have documented remediation plans in our ServiceNow portal, and those should be wrapped up next quarter. Now I will turn it over to the internal control officers to provide us a report on each of their agency's progress, starting with Chris Peterson and the Game, Fish, and Parks.
Thank you, Allison. For the listening audience and our board members, Game Fish and Parks has been or has completed. We're about 2 years in with the completion of our internal control processes. A couple of the touch points that we wanted to highlight for today. Last quarter, Game Fish and Parks took a little bit of a step back in how well we did with doing our on-time review and attestations. First quarter after our rollout, we were at 94.3% last year, and then we took that step back to about 73%, 73.8% of those attestations and those assessments completed on time. Timing of that quarter coincided right with the rollout of Game Fish and Parks' new go outdoor system. So we had a lot of all hands on deck things going at that same time. And I think that contributed to just not getting those assessments done in a timely fashion that way. That same topic is very relevant as we go into this quarter, where we're able to kind of step back up. 91% of our attestations were completed on time with those assessments. What we've noticed within this quarter of doing the reviews of our internal control processes is we saw some really good things. Again, back to that new system rollout, Game Fish and Parks took what was an in-house hosted hunting and fishing license sales system and moved that over to a contracted vendor. With that came a lot of security challenges, bringing that type of data, lots of years of data security, private information for our license holders. But we were able to use and benefit from some of the controls we had in place with those kind of security, IT, personally identifiable information type components. And we were able to and needed to use outside bureaus, essentially BIT, to assist to make sure we had all those controls in place. We were successful in that rollout December 15th, so we're a few months into the rollout. How that's going really depends on those individuals you talk to. If they have their camping sites for July 4th, the system's going great. If you draw your coveted elk tag or buck tag, it's working great. If you don't, maybe we need to continue to work on that system. But those things were working pretty well. The last thing that I would mention, as you know, as an agency goes into the biannual reviews and the assessments, the attestations, one of the things we still see, my last comment, as the challenge for Game Fish and Parks is when you have a control owner that moves on from the agency, turnover in those agencies. We've had, I think, each of the quarters, we've worked with Allison to kind of redistribute where those reviews will take place, as we've had kind of that, I think with a lot of agencies, kind of your mid-level supervisors, your mid-level executive team in control of a lot of this work using the system. So again, this time around, which is where we didn't get some of these completed on time, it was going in and identifying who would be those new control owners as you have turnover within an agency. So that's kind of some comments in what we've experienced in Game Fish and Parks over the last number of months.
Thanks, Chris. Next, we'll have Connie Hone with the Department of Military.
I'm sorry, can I ask a question of Chris? Would that be okay? Chris, could you tell us a little bit about, you mentioned this the transition from your state hosted to kind of a different solution for your, as part of that effort, did you, or what opportunities did you take relative to maybe enhancing some of your controls as part of that automation, or did you simply just replicate what you had in-house and move it to a different hosting model?
Good question. I think one of the things we did with this new system rollout is we were operating inside Game Fish and Parks. As I was just mentioning, we had two systems, one for camping park entrance license, camping reservations, and that was vendor hosted. And then the other side, the hunting and fishing license system, was state-hosted, inside, built and developed through our BIT services in-house. One of their main goals was to do this one-stop shop, so indeed a citizen could get a camping spot, get a reservation, and buy a hunting fishing license, apply for license, all in one shop. So I think it took some work, but we were able to try to combine or mesh together the controls that did exist, as you mentioned, for the vendor on the camping reservation side, and try to kind of meld that in with the controls we had inside the state system. So there were a lot of meetings with a room full of developers, tech people, security people. So I think that's where our controls really helped, is the ability to identify what controls you needed for outside hosting versus inside, and bring those people into meetings over the last 6 months or so to do that. So quite a challenge, but I think our controls helped get us there.
Great. Thank you.
Any other questions?
If I may. Keith?
Yes.
Thank you. So, Chris, as I was listening to kind of explain the process, this is maybe a true or false statement, and you can expand on it if you want, but would you say that the process that we've gone through at Game Fish and Parks with the internal control process has helped you to maybe identify succession planning or gaps that maybe we need to make sure that we've got continuity of operations, those kinds of things? Do you think that the process you've gone through with internal control framework will help with that moving forward?
Yes, good question. I think it does. We've got in Game Fish and Parks a pretty structured cabinet secretary, division directors, mid-level supervisors, and quite often within our divisions, wildlife and our parks division, we have individuals we are able to do some internal promotions when maybe some type of from our executive leadership team moves on. And I think that's what we've realized within our agency for sure. Many of these controls, the few hundred that we have out there, many of the control owners are really in that mid-level leadership. So if you have good succession planning and you have others in your agency, it definitely makes the process a lot more streamlined when you do that. Where we've struggled a little bit is maybe in a certain program area within the department where we're not as defined with that succession plan, then those are more challenging for sure.
Any other questions? Go ahead, Allie.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. I'm Connie Hone. I'm the Deputy Secretary for the Department of Military. Thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedules to listen to our report. Starting off with the risk type, over 95% fall into the operation and compliance, with 70.4 in operational and 24.7 in compliance. Military is essentially a required service delegated by the federal government, so we have both federal and state employees working side by side in our three divisions, the Adjutant General's Office and the Army and Air Guard. Because the Department of Military supports both national and state missions, we have a higher percentage of compliance risks than the state average. Priority risks, we have 43.2 in the low category, 48.1 in the medium, and 8.6 in the high, which is in trends with the state average. We recognize one control deficiency and plan to meet with Allie in April or May to develop a plan and implement a checklist and further mature our controls. We also plan to review this information annually to ensure we stay current in our risk assessment. I personally want to thank Allie for her knowledge and professionalism and leading us through this process. And we're excited to implement this plan and make this list more useful for current and future employees. Thank you.
Thank you, Connie. Any questions for Connie? Go ahead, Chris.
Chris Peterson here. Connie, on the Game Fish and Park side, we've experienced the ability to use the control matrix to assist us in setting some priorities. Like I said, we did this big rollout in Game Fish and Parks, and some of the control issues we might have identified were ones where if we just have so much time in the day with our resources, For sure, we want to do things like make sure that the security with the new license system rollout goes well, but we may have delayed implementation of a management plan for a fish hattery or something like that. Are you seeing, in your world, the ability to use the matrix similarly to GameFish, where it helps you set priorities because we do have the kind of the high, low, medium categories when you're kind of allocating your resources?
Mr. Chair, thank you for the question, Board Member Peterson. We haven't tore all the way down into that, and that's more on the federal side. They do a lot of those matrices. We haven't done it on the state side so much. That's one thing unique about us is because we work so closely with the federal employees. We have so much. I mean, they work side by side, so you don't know who's a federal and who's a state. But, however, I know that they have them on the federal side, and I could bring them in as well into the roll it into the system.
Thank you.
Thanks, Connie. Any other questions? And I may not have opened it up for questions for Allison on the statewide. I probably overlooked that. Any questions for Allie on that? Okay, thank you, Connie.
Thanks.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Allie. Next on our agenda is the framework project update. Looks like we have three on the agenda for today. Allison, can you please provide us with an update on those?
You bet. So the key program updates for this period include the finalization of both the School and Public Lands and the Office of the State Auditor as the 9th and 10th agencies onboarded. So this week I uploaded the results to ServiceNow, and those results will be included in next quarter's reporting. So School and Public Lands wrapped up on March 15th, and the Office of the State Auditor followed on the 16th. We broke School and Public Lands into three sections of finance, land management, and oil, gas, and GIS. And the Office of the State Auditor also into three sections of accounting, auditing, and payroll. In December, I did a complete overhaul of our training material that I feel really streamlines the process and includes a lot more participation and interaction with all of our participants. These two offices were the first to utilize that new training, and I think it went really well. Both School and Public Lands and the Office of the State Auditor are unique in the fact that they're the first constitutional offices that we visited for our program. Many of their duties are prescribed by legislation and statute, so while they have many good controls in place, we did review maybe the effectiveness of those controls and areas in which we can further mature those controls. Employees that were involved in the implementation were open, knowledgeable, and eager to provide a solid final product, so we appreciate that. It's also a little tricky to schedule these meetings during sessions, so we appreciate their flexibility and commitment to this program to complete the implementation timely. So in addition to the business that session brings, School and Public Lands was also going through a commissioner transition from Ryan Bruner to Jared Johnson during our implementation. Kind of as we'd had discussions so far, that kind of highlights a major risk that all state agencies face, and that's succession planning. So what needs to go right to ensure an organization is prepared and successful in building the next generation of leadership and engaging in succession planning? A lot of what we do in our program is not only documenting risks and controls, but also ensuring that agencies are well-equipped for future organizational needs. Having well-documented policies and procedures helps agencies take expedient action during turnover as it facilitates effective knowledge transfer and aids in the responsibility reassignment. School and Public Lands was already ahead of the game in their knowledge and responsibility transfer, and I'd like to thank Ryan for participating in those meetings. He had already transitioned to his new role, and he still attended all of our meetings, so we appreciate his time that he shared with us. Overall, we had great discussions during our workshops, and I look forward to them sharing their results at the next meeting in June. In addition to planning for future implementations, I finalized a contract extension for INRI, or Integrhythm, who provide the development and programming for our program ServiceNow. And I'm also in the process of getting the PwC consulting contract extended as well. The Department of Public Safety has been selected as the 11th agency to implement our framework, and we've actually started work with them this month. We're about in the third week of that process, so it's going pretty well. They will likely share those results at the June meeting as well. And then also in the June meeting, I will prepare and present the FY23 work plan for everyone to approve.
Thank you, Allie. Any questions? Seeing none, I think we'll move on. I think seventh on our agenda are the other discussion items. Allison, go ahead.
Yeah, so I recently made reference changes to the Uniform Subrecipient Grant Agreement template. That accounted for the change from the DUNS number to the unique entity identifier. And this move is part of a federal government-wide initiative in which OMB directed agencies and systems to complete this transition by April 4th of this year. This change is happening because the federal government is streamlining the entity registration process, making it easier for entities to do business with the federal government. Entities will be assigned an identifier during registration or can request one at SAM.gov without needing to register. This change is reflected in the document that I have posted to our BFM website and then to the boards and commissions portal as well.
Allison, if I may ask a clarification question, this change did not change, was not a substantive change, just the DUNS number, everything, all the controls that we've built in the to this previously still remain?
Yes, good question. So A1B, you can see we changed the wording from subrecipients DUNS to the unique entity ID SAM. Yep, very minor change.
Any other questions for Allie? I would like to take a little bit of liberty here to talk about some of the successes that we've had. You know, this board first met in May of 2016. Its focus on the early stages was education and implementation of some statewide changes to enhance our internal controls and to decrease risk, essentially. Some of those we discussed today, like the subrecipient grant agreement, was one of the areas. I believe in about 2018, we started the talking about the concept of an internal control framework and implementing that across all state agencies. I believe that was approved in like January of 2019 and moving forward. And since then, we've, you know, continued our work with PwC. We've implemented ServiceNow to document all of this. And I believe Allie took this position in early 2020, was it? What, late 2020? Okay. But I would like to just thank you, Allie. You've done a super job of keeping this moving along. You know, this is a long-term plan. I think you indicated that we've got 8 agencies that have been implemented. 2 more just got thrown on and another, a third you're working with. So we are making progress. I've heard nothing but good comments from the agencies who I've talked to about this. And sitting in that chair for a while, I understand how much work it is. But your work along with all the agencies' participation is doing nothing but making South Dakota government better. And I want to thank you, Allie. Before we move forward, any other items we'd like to discuss? Okay, I believe 8th thing on the agenda is the discussion items for the next meeting. I will open it up for discussion. Seeing none, I believe, as Allie indicated, our next meeting will be scheduled sometime in June. That will be the last quarterly meeting in fiscal year, in this fiscal year. So next on the agenda is public comment. I would like to open it up to any public comment. If we have anybody in the audience who would like to say anything. Seeing we have a sparse crowd, I assume there's none, so we will go ahead and move on. And with that, I will accept a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Peterson, seconded by Tidball Zeltinger. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. We are adjourned. Thank you.